Last month, the Wisconsin Humane Society sent out an email looking for folks to adopt working cats. Well, what exactly is a working cat, and who would be looking to adopt them? On the Lee Rayburn Show, joining us next is the Vice President of Marketing and Communications for our Wisconsin Humane Society, Angela Speed. And if you have questions about working cats or what you can do to help them or how they might be able to help you, you are welcome to join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send us an email to talk@wpr.org. And Angela, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me today. We have a lot of really hardworking cats looking for placement.
What the? Now, I've got a cat, and I would never call her a hardworking cat. I mean, plays hard, sleeps hard, eats, I mean, all those other things. But working, I don't know. So, Angela, what the heck is a working cat?
Yeah, I would say most of us with cats work for our cats, right?
Exactly.
It's definitely true. So, when social healthy cats come into the Wisconsin Humane Society, they of course go into our adoption program to find new homes. Then there are some cats who are really fearful of new situations, but they also go into our adoption program with some behavior support. And then there are the deeply under-socialized, I want nothing to do with people, stressed out cats who could not find placement in a regular adoptive home. Those are our working cats or barn cats, and they typically come to us from an outdoor environment to start with, and they really can't be house pets, but they thrive in a working environment where they can patrol barns, stables, outbuildings, sheds, even warehouses. And they get to live a fulfilling life with a family who cares for them. And you get a rodent-free property without the use of pesticides.
A natural pest control. Now, when I hear you describe what a working cat or a barn cat is, that to me sounds like a feral cat. Is there a difference there?
I would say they can be similar in profile. And we offer trap, neuter, return TNR programs for people who do bring us feral cats to be re-released into the community. But sometimes that is not the case, where that cat cannot be released back into the community or they're not interested in that. And so some of those cats will track to our working cat program. And every year we do between 100 and 300 working cat adoptions. And so it's definitely a growing program.
But is it a growing population of cats? I mean, is part of the problem here the population?
Certainly.
Yeah.
We have seen increased numbers of cats coming through our 6 sheltering locations over the past couple of years. And I think it's also just awareness of the program. We know already there are people who are living in rural properties, stables, farmers who already have cats patrolling their barns. But those cats don't come with all the perks of adopting one from the Wisconsin Humane Society. We provide so many benefits to families looking for working cats. And that includes, most importantly, spay-neuter surgery to reduce the populations on those farms. Also, feline leukemia testing and microchipping, core vaccinations, deworming, flea preventative. So it's a whole package. So you get a healthy cat who can work outside, but not reproduce.
And basic veterinary services for these animals. That sounds like a win-win.
It really is. It's a win for the cat. It's a win for the farmer, for sure. And there is no adoption fee.
Oh, so these cats, these working cats, they work for free.
They do. I mean, we do expect that adopters need to provide their outdoor cats with some basic things.
Sure.
Of course, shelter, number one, especially in the Wisconsin winters. Daily food and water. It's really important to provide a food source. They cannot live on rodents alone. They need cat food. And then veterinary care as needed if that pops up. And then a really secure indoor place, especially for the first 4 to 6 weeks when they acclimate to the new environment.
So who are the ideal working cat adopters, Angela?
Oh, we've placed hundreds of cats, and it's hard to say what's ideal. We're really just looking for good placements. We've had people especially from like horse stables and family farms. We've had businesses with large warehouses approach us. People with hobby farms, typically coming from rural environments. We do most of our barn cat placements through our Ozaki, Kenosha, and Green Bay campuses, but working cats are available to anyone in Wisconsin. And we also list them on our website so you can see their pictures. We do require that cats are adopted in pairs.
Why?
Not just alone, because cats are inherently very social creatures. And we find that they, although they may not never bond with you, they will bond with other animals, and it reduces their desire to roam off the property and really keeps them established in their new environment.
When you've got a family, you stick around. So
they need friends too.
and people are generally not going to be their friends. The difference between a working cat and a house cat isn't a breed or a type. It's about socialization, right?
Yes. And I would say, you know, most of these working cats, when they come into the shelter, they're more like wild animals sometimes. Mm-hmm. You can even tell from the photos on our website, they're crouched in the corner, or when somebody goes into a room, they'll scale the wall. They're really fearful of people. And that has probably been a characteristic or behavior trait in them for a few generations.
Yeah, and it's understandable if you're not socialized to humans at an early age. We are a weird species unto ourselves. And when you put them in a cage, then all of a sudden they're like, you know, you are a terrible species, not just weird. I can see it through their eyes if you don't start early on with a cat. And for these, you know, otherwise known feral cats, unsocialized cats, potential working cats for your warehouse, horse stables, barns, I understand where they're coming from. And there is also, you know, the idea of population control and the thought that if euthanasia were population control, Angela, for these animals, we would have been able to control this population a long, long time ago.
Yes, really, the more research comes out, the more that we see that spay-neuter is truly the solution to reducing pet overpopulation in our community. In the Milwaukee area, the peak of animal population, overpopulation, was 1971. And it was around that era that we started mandatory spay-neuter of all animals adopted from the Wisconsin Humane Society. And over decades, we have definitely seen that population drop. But with cats, there's still a long way to go.
Yeah.
We still get flooded with cats and kittens this time of year. All Wisconsin shelters see an uptick in the summer months with cats reproducing, a lot of kittens coming into our care, nursing moms with kittens. And we're about at that peak right now this summer in late July into August. So whether you're interested in a working cat or adopting kittens or cats or other animals, if you've been on the fence and you're hearing this, this is your sign. Your local shelter needs your help. Whether you can foster or adopt, peak season is right now, and it hits all shelters really hard.
Angela Speed, our guest, Vice President of Marketing and Communications for the Wisconsin Humane Society, talking about the potential to adopt working cats. And if you have questions about this program or want to know more or have a comment, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Ellen in Waupaca next. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. Yes, I am a public health veterinarian and have been involved in the whole trap, neuter, release issue for a long time. I do not agree with it, and the reason being is that there are a number of problems with outdoor cats. Granted, they are placed there fully vaccinated, but their rabies is a one and done, so they are never vaccinated again. That rabies vaccine does not last forever. And cats are the number one domestic animal in the United States to develop rabies. Dogs, of course, they have to be vaccinated. So dogs are not anywhere on the list, and then our livestock species are much lower risk anyway.
Sure. Ellen, what would we do with these cats? What is the solution if a trap, neuter, release is not part of the equation?
What I see a lot of not abandoned farms, but a lot of non-working buildings, farm, old barns, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think putting up a very large fence around it so it can't be scaled, and then put these cats in there so they're still outside, they still have shelter, they could still be fed.
A sanctuary.
They cannot get into. Yeah, a sanctuary. They
can't
get into the wild because the number one cause of songbird deaths in the United States, according to the American Bird Conservancy, is cats. It is not it is not loss of habitat. It is not wind farms. It's not anything like that.
Ellen, I'm so glad you called. And there are a couple great points there. And we talked to a wonderful birder last week, Dexter Patterson, and he addressed the same concerns. Outdoor cats, he said, are deadly to the birds that he loves. Angela, what do we do? And we'll address the rabies issue. But first, what do we do about our birds with these working cats?
Yeah, I'm so glad that this was brought up. So not everybody knows it, but the Wisconsin Humane Society has one of the busiest wildlife rehabilitation centers in the whole state. And we absolutely have a shared passion for wild animals and songbirds as well. We're really focused on what we can do ourselves to maximize harm reduction for both species. We can't control sometimes whether people have indoor or outdoor cats, but we can definitely advocate for people keeping their pets indoors and making sure we're spaying and neutering the thousands of cats that we adopt out each year. We do occasionally see birds arriving at our wildlife center after being injured by a cat, but they're actually fairly few and far in between. There's also research that indicates that habitat destruction and man-made creations and urban environments are a bigger threat to wild birds, especially migratory birds. We have programs to address that too. We have a WINGS program that monitors window collisions in downtown Milwaukee. Volunteers actually go downtown at like sunrise and pick up injured birds and bring them to our wildlife center in hopes that they can be rehabilitated and re-released. When it comes to our working cat program specifically, we saw a way to fill two needs. People with farms and stables want outdoor cats. They already have those outdoor cats, but we have cats in the shelter who are healthy, can't be placed into a regular home environment. And rather than let those families find cats from a neighbor or Craigslist and have them not be altered or vaccinated at all, we offer an alternative to appease both, both species. And with some real benefits to both cats and wildlife by reducing and limiting the cat population on their property.
What about Ellen's concern about rabies?
It is unfortunate. Like oftentimes we, some of those cats, especially TNR programs, may not have a regular booster or series of rabies vaccines throughout their lifetime. But for working cat adopters specifically, those cats come in and we expect working cat adopters to provide regular veterinary care. We offer low-cost vaccine clinics at all six of our locations and actually our spay-neuter clinic too. And that vaccine is only $16 and offered monthly to the public, to anybody. And so we can provide regular vaccines for working cat adopters as well.
So there, it makes the transition from the feral cat, which could be threatened by rabies, to a working cat who would be protected by rabies. And Ellen, if you are looking for a volunteer to start a cat sanctuary, I'm your guy. I'm ready to take this role on right now. And I thank you for the calls, and I hope we were able to address some concerns. And it is about striking a balance, I would imagine, for everybody here. And let's go to Nick in Green Bay next. Nick, hi.
Hi. A little off subject, but all my animals are all rescues. The Humane Society is the best organization that there is around. My two dogs came from the South, and my cat, unfortunately, we had a cat that we adopted about 20 years ago, and we knew she was going to die, so we went out to PetSmart, and the Humane Society was there, and we adopted. We went to adopt one cat, and he wasn't friendly or anything, so we adopted a black cat, and everybody was like, oh, my God, you adopted a black cat. I don't care. And then a month after we adopted that cat, our old cat, she passed away. She had a stroke and she couldn't walk and stuff. But I don't know why anybody got rid of this black cat, because I'm not a cat person. I don't like really cats, but I love my dogs. And yeah. She runs the dogs. I got a black lab that's 100 pounds. I got a little dog that's 60. And my black cat that we adopted like a year ago now, she like runs those dogs, and she's the boss. And the funny thing is she's the sweetest cat. I don't know why anybody would have got rid of that cat.
Nick, I got some news for you, my friend. You are a cat person now. And thank you for sharing. Do you have any ballpark on how many adoptions our Humane Society does throughout the year, or how many animals you're able to save?
So the Wisconsin Humane Society had about 18,000 placements last year. That's just over 14,000 adoptions. And the majority of the rest of those placements were lost animals returning home, because we offer stray holding facilities at all of our locations except Milwaukee. And our programming reaches more than 65,000 animals and their families every year. We actually now serve more owned animals in homes than we do homeless animals, which surprises a lot of people. We offer so many services and continue to build upon them for people who are looking for vet care, training, support, because we're really working hard to keep animals in their homes where mm-hmm. they are loved. And right now, with so many systemic issues like housing instability, the cost of vet care, just rising inflation, and pet care has dramatically increased in the last few years, it's become more expensive and harder for people to keep their pets.
Let's go next to Sandy in Oneida. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. Thanks for the information. But we received two feral cats about a year ago, and it was really cold, so we put them in our basement. And consequently, one is really a house cat because he really likes to be where it's warm, and as soon as you sit down, he jumps on you. He wants to be held and loved. The other cat we cannot touch, but they both go out during the day, and they do catch a lot of rodents, and they come and deposit them by my garage door to know that they are working. So
I think they are gifting it to you, Sandy. I think you are getting little packaged rodents for gifts as a thank you for it, in exchange for their warm basement. But to me, it sounds like Sandy has one feral cat and one that is now a house cat. Because, again, it's just about socialization, right? It's just about how acclimated they are to these weird human beings.
That's true. And we get this question a lot. Like, will my working cat ever love me? And yes, they can warm up to people, although it's pretty rare for a working cat to become a fully acclimated indoor cat. But if they start to associate you as the ultimate food source, they will often begin to approach you or respond when you call kitty kitty. Some of them may accept petting or rub against your legs. It could be months, it could be years later, but some of them do eventually warm up to people. And one of the keys to helping them acclimate to these new environments, and it sounds really awful and hard, but you have to keep them confined for at least a month to a crate, a really small building, because as they transition to their new environments, they really need to get used to that environment. And that period is dependent on trust built between the cats and the owners. And that confinement allows the cats to familiarize themselves with the new environment and recognize it, most importantly, as a permanent feeding station. This is where they get their food. Oh. And so they always stay in that territory, in that area, and not wander off.
So you're habituating them to this is where the food is. And you do that for 4 to 6 weeks, and they will know without a doubt that this is where the food is. This is where I go for the food. So they won't wander off. They won't run away or try to escape the nearness of weird humans that they're not comfortable with.
Exactly. And a couple of the tips that our former adopters have shared, too, is to use the smelliest cat food possible. The stinkier it is, the more they'll like it. And then secondly, have a radio running all the time in that area so that they can get used to the sound of a human voice, perhaps Wisconsin Public Radio.
It's not a perhaps, it's an insistence. We've got people talking, humans talking here all the time, 24 hours a day. And our dulcet tones will keep them calm.
Exactly. Yes. So those are two key tips.
And Sandy, the other thing is, you know, why cats have different ways of showing they love you. And one for Sandy's feral might just be leaving a rat at the front door or a mouse at the front door. That's a term of endearment as much as anything else, right? Thank you for the call, Sandy. Let's go to Dee in Milwaukee next. Hi, Dee.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just yesterday saw a single scruffy matted looking cat a couple blocks from my home. And I'm wondering how these cats make their way to the working cat program. How are they captured? And then related to that, if they are social animals, can we assume they have a family in their neighborhood? And how can that be addressed?
Great questions, Dee. Thank you. Angela?
I'm so glad that you asked this because we've been looking really closely to the research about not necessarily the scruffy matted cat outside who may need some human intervention to help. But most of the times when we see stray cats in our neighborhoods and they're healthy, somebody owns them. Mm. And what we're finding is that they're 75% more likely to get home if you leave them alone.
Oh.
The reclaim rate nationally of lost cats coming into shelters is only 3%.
Oh.
And isn't that crazy? And most cats are found when they are within 500 meters of their house. So if you do see a healthy stray cat outside, like the human heart wants to intervene. But intervention, if that cat especially isn't microchipped or doesn't have a collar, it's more likely to go home on its own than get reunited with their family through a shelter. It's really surprising and counterintuitive research, but we've just started looking more deeply at that. However, if you see a scruffy, matted cat, a cat with any medical issues, if they're in a dangerous situation near busy roads or they're orphan kittens, you should certainly bring them to your local animal control agency. In Milwaukee, that's MADAC, but pretty much every county in Wisconsin contracts with an organization for stray animal management. Those cats who do come to us as strays, we really strive hard to get them reunited with families. But if they're social, they go into our adoption program. Sometimes they'll go to foster and then surrendered. The only cats who are going into our working cat program are cats who we know were previously living outdoors. We never would want to put a cat who's acclimated to the indoors in an outside environment.
It's almost counterintuitive that the cat that you would be willing to approach that may seem like a stray, the one that would let you come close to it is the one you probably want to leave at bay. The one that would run away from you was probably one that is a feral or unsocialized cat that might be a viable working cat in the future through the Humane Society.
Yes. And some humane societies, including many of our locations, also rent traps.
Yes.
If you feel the need to trap an animal on your property to bring them in. But if you see a stray cat who's wearing a collar or a tag and they're social, and the best thing to do is see if you can reunite them with that address before bringing them to a shelter.
More online at wihumane.org. Angela Speed, thank you so much for joining us today. And I hope we get to do this again.
Thank you.
Thanks to our team today, Joel Patenaude, Clara Neipert, Jeff Robbins, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau, and thanks to you for being a part of the show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you are listening to WPR News.